Oliver from Rugby League in My Opinion here. It's been a little while. Welcome back to the Rugby League in My Opinion podcast. I think we had a week off, but I'm joined as always by my co-host Cooper. How are you today, man?
I'm good, thanks, bro. Apologies for last week, everyone. I was just, one sec, I'll quickly turn off Facebook there. I was just down visiting some family in Taree, so had the week off, but glad to be back. And yeah, looking forward to the episode.
Yeah, nice. Well, we'll kick things off by thanking our sponsor over at Champ Mouthguards. Get 10% off of your mouthguard at Champ Mouthguards by using discount code RLIMO10. That's RILIMO10 for 10% off of your mouthguard at Champ Mouthguards. And of course, at the end, we'll hear a word from our sponsor. So, Cooper, we kick things off with hashtag LeeWatch. Of course, your boys, the Lee Centurions. The last time they played, which was the 1st of May, they lost 22-12 to St. Helens. So, you know, against the defending champions and undefeated team, to only lose by 10 points is good. But before that, they actually were beaten pretty handily by the Salford Red Devils, who at the time were last on the ladder. So, of course, now Lee sitting down there at the bottom. But against St. Helens, I mean, only a 10-point loss. What do you take away from that?
Yeah, it was 6-6 at halftime as well. So, positive signs. I'd like to say we're at the bottom now. So, the only way is technically up. But positive signs from this game. But then again, we did get thrashed by other teams before this, so we'll see what happens next game. But yeah, hopefully we can keep this type of form up, even if we're losing. As long as they're not blowouts, they're close games, especially against top teams like this, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, the next time they play isn't actually until, well, for us it'll be the 18th of May, I'm pretty sure, because this weekend I believe is a Challenge Cup weekend, and Lee have already been eliminated from that competition there, the knockout tournament there. So they will play at home again, the Lee Sports Village Stadium, for us on the 18th of May at 4:45 a.m. against Wigan. Of course, they're close rivals. They nearly beat Wigan back in round one. I remember we watched that one, not together in the same place, but we watched that at the same time and messaged throughout, and they nearly got the win over Wigan in that one. But yeah, a tough couple of weeks for them. They nearly got it done, I guess you could say, against St. Helens, the defending champions, but now they've got to go up against a local rival and last season's runners up, the Wigan Warriors. How do you reckon they'll go in that?
If I'm being honest, they probably won't win, but if they can play like they did against St. Helens, hopefully they can. I don't know what I'm saying. Hopefully they can lose 1-12 and not 13+. Of course I want them to win, but hopefully it's not a blowout. That's what I'm pretty much trying to say. Yeah, but I don't know. I'll tip Lee because they're my team. But if I'm being realistic, Wigan should win.
Yeah, well, now let's get on to the topic of the day. For the past couple of weeks, I guess the media sphere has been dominated by rumours, speculation of, I'd say, four halves in particular who we're going to be covering today, but of where halves are going to be ending up in season 2022 and beyond. It seems really ever since Chad Townsend signed with the North Queensland Cowboys, that has set sort of a merry-go-round of halves in motion, because as soon as one half leaves their team to go to another team, obviously that first team's got to try and recruit someone else, and there are a few halves off contract. So there's a bit of a merry-go-round there, I guess, of halves moving teams. We could end up with a situation here. I'm just looking at the names we've got down, where all four halves are at different clubs next year. Yep. And all four have either played for their country, one of them hasn't, but two of them have played for their country, one of them has played Origin, and the other one is a notable half, I would say that much. So some big names here. Are you ready to get into it? I'm going to go through name by name. We'll have a quick chat about it. Then at the end, we might give a prediction as to where they'll be in 2021.
Yeah, too easy.
All righty. Well, first one. Daly Sherry Evans. So you're instantly going to be thinking, well, he's contracted, you know, the 10-year deal. He's at Manly until the end of 2023, at least. However, reports have emerged, I believe it was maybe 2 weeks ago now, from Fox Sports, that Manly are having some salary cap complications and that they are currently in the process of trying to restructure Daly Cherry Evans's contract. So I was in asking him to take less for the last few years of his contract. However, it was on Sunday that it was reported that Manly had offered him a 2-year extension for 2024 and 2025. So just having a little think here, I'd have to say that Manly have gone to Cherry Evans and said, well, you know, we can't afford to keep you without going over the salary cap. What if you take less money until 2023, but we extend you to 2024 and 25 to sort of make up for that? Also, it's been reported that Brisbane and South Sydney have gone in for Cherry Evans as well. So what are your thoughts on this?
Kind of popped out of nowhere. We'll go into the other halves later, but Moses, Reynolds and Johnson have all been kind of rumoured to be not really Reynolds until before this year, but have been rumoured to be going elsewhere potentially, where Daly Cherry Evans' name kind of just popped up into it all. He's playing good this year as well. So, I was surprised when I heard it. I feel like, the Rabbitohs would be the better team to go to at the moment. They're obviously a bit more set up. And, but I feel like if out of the two, I feel like the Broncos could be a potential place. Because isn't he from... I know he's from Queensland. I just don't know whereabouts. So, I guess you'd be kind of like technically going home. But kind of half giving my prediction away early. I think he stays at Manly.
Okay. Adam Reynolds, who in the, you know what, with DC, it's a hard one for me. As I said to you off camera, I do have a little bit of an inside scoop. You're doing air quotes there because I'm not sure if it's true or not, but based off of something I've heard, it's obviously going to impact my predictions here till we get to this player. So, you know what, for now, I'll say he stays at Manly and Reece, but he wouldn't just stay at Manly on a reduced deal until the end of 2023. I think that contract extension would be signed for 24 and 25, so he gets his money. Adam Reynolds, who, wow, it's pretty much been since the start of the season, at least a couple of weeks into the season, he's pretty much been gone from South Sydney. I mean, at first, we were waiting to see whether or not South would come along with an extended deal longer than a season. They did, based off of reports. I believe it was a 2-year deal they ended up coming back with, but that was declined. So at the moment, Cronulla have reportedly came in with an offer. Kevin Walters has reportedly flown to Sydney with an offer for him. So Brisbane and Cronulla, I guess, are your two candidates at the moment for Adam Reynolds. Where do you see this going?
We haven't really touched on the whole Reynolds situation. It's been going on since the season started. I think it's all I agree with what most people are saying, where I think it's kind of ridiculous that they're getting rid of him. Cooper Cronk made some good points where Reynolds has gotten them to 3 prelims but hasn't been able to get them past that. I know he has won a grand final with that team, but that was 7 years ago. So I know everyone's saying, oh, he's a premiership winning half. I fully understand that, but it was a long time ago now. Oh, not a long time ago, but it was a decent while ago. I still think they should keep him. Like, there's not that many other really good halves floating about, especially of Reynolds' caliber, but it's odd. They must have some sort of plans there. I don't really get it. And it's a real shame, to be honest, as well, because he's obviously a South junior and I can't picture him in another jersey besides that Rabbitohs one either. So, it's odd. I do think he leaves, but I'll leave that prediction for the end, but I definitely can't see him being at South Sydney next year.
Well, people have been saying, and especially in the media, oh, how can Souths let him go? Souths have to hold on to him. But it seems to me, especially after he rejected that 2-year deal that they came back with reportedly, I think it's more a case of he just doesn't want to be there, and it's not up to South Sydney to, you know, hold on to him and offer what they can for him. I think he might be done there, and I think he just wants a bit of a change of scenery now, it seems, because he knocked back that 2-year deal. So I don't think South Sydney can help it.
Do you feel like he knocked back that deal because it took them so long to kind of table that 2-year deal, or do you think he just wants a change?
Maybe, because it did seem like at first, okay, he's rejected the 1-year offer and he said that he wants a 2 or 3-year deal. He feels like he's worth it. They didn't necessarily need to offer him that, but again, it's reported they offered 2 years and he rejected that. So if he's rejected that after the reports that he just wanted a bit of a longer deal, maybe it is a case of money, or is a case of him wanting to go elsewhere and there's a better offer on the table. So yeah, I think I definitely can't see him. Actually, I think it's pretty much a guarantee at this point he's not going to be at South Sydney this year, especially with the reports that South's looking at DCE as well. That'd have to indicate that Reynolds has told him that he's not going to be returning to the club next year. So yeah. We move on now to Sean Johnson, who was reportedly offered an extension to stay at Cronulla for $400,000 a year, so to take a pay cut. Was reportedly offered to the Warriors, and the Warriors rejected the offer. So at the moment, it's not clear as to where Johnson will end up next year. I've heard sort of light rumblings that Brisbane might be interested, but let's be honest, we're naming Brisbane for all of these halves as someone who they've at least inquired about, and so they should really. But that's the only team I've really heard. It's weird because I'm not confident he'll stay at Cronulla, but I genuinely can't see where he's going to end up. Like, I can't see where he goes from here.
I think the Cowboys were, I mean, not anymore. Okay. They've got Dearden and Townsend, but I saw some stuff on one of the Cowboys groups I'm in of him having photos up in Townsville. Whether that was him visiting family or visiting the Cowboys facilities, I don't know. Like, I don't know his situation and whether he's got family up there, if he just went up for a holiday, but he was up in Townsville and going all over the place. So that's kind of off the tables now, but the Cowboys could have been interested at some point. But yeah, I agree. I can't really see. I feel like 400K is lowballing him a bit, but then I can't really see where else he ends up. I think it's the Broncos is the only club I can really think of, and they seem more keen on Reynolds, DC, and even Moses to an extent. So, maybe I'm looking a bit too much into it, but I've heard Sean Johnson talk on the Matty John Show and obviously Bloke in a Bar podcast, and it kind of sounds like he's not open to leaving, but like he's not really, I don't really know how to put it. Just the way he's kind of spoken about coming off contract, it doesn't sound like he's made his mind up. Like, I don't think he's feeling some sort of need to stay with the Sharks, if that makes sense. Like, I can see him leaving. It's just whether a team really puts their hand up and takes him.
Yeah, well, the final one here, Mitchell Moses, and this is where I'm going to reveal the quote-unquote scoop that I've received. I'm not saying that this is true. I'm saying I believe it. I personally do. Whether you do or not, that's up to you, and we'll see how it pans out. But I have heard, and before I start, the reason as to why I believe this is because the person who told me, who I won't reveal, obviously no one reveals their sources and keeps them, but the person who told me this explained to me how they found out about this. And that's why I believe it, because they've actually gone through and they've told me how they came to know this information. But as of halfway through the week last week, when I found this out, Mitchell Moses will sign a $1 million deal to go to the Broncos next year. The only thing that can stop it is if Parramatta offers more money. That's what I've heard. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just what I've heard. I've got to repeat that to make sure I'm, you know, people don't turn on me when he ends up re-signing with Para or something. But yeah. That's what I've heard at least.
As a Para fan, Obviously, I'd want to see Moses stay, but I would be annoyed if Parramatta signed him for over a mil, even at a million. I know the Broncos have to kind of pay overs for anyone they want nowadays because they're obviously struggling. But thinking of it in Moses' situation, the Broncos, you're going to go there. They're going to be rebuilding. You're not going to have a whole lot of success. You're going to be under. You're going to be probably the most under pressure half in the comp. And I'm pretty. I think the Eels were rumored to be re-signing him on 900K. So if that's the case, you're going for an extra 100K, 150K maybe. I don't understand it from his point of view, but obviously I'm not him. He thinks about stuff differently. Yeah, that will be a huge signing for the Broncos if it ends up happening. And yeah, I feel like that's well and truly they're overpaying him at $1 million. But like I said earlier, they kind of have to pay overs for anyone. Now that you're saying that, could that be potential if Moses does go to the Broncos where Sean Johnson or Adam Reynolds kind of gives Parramatta a bit of a look in? It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I guess watch this space. That's big news.
Yeah, well, and this is before I heard this quote-unquote scoop. Moses is on, I believe, 800K a year currently at Parramatta. I can't see a justifiable reason as to why Parramatta specifically would offer him any more than that. Like, yeah, he had a good 2019, which is when they re-signed him. But other than that, I believe he's not been terrible across the board, but he has not played to that same level again in 2020 and thus far in 2021. I don't see why Parramatta could justify paying him any more than he's currently on. You could argue that he should be getting paid less. If they were to offer him 800K and he were to re-sign on that, then I could understand that. But it looks like, again, if this is true, Parramatta are going to have to pay over $1 million to keep Mitchell Moses at the club. And it's interesting because there are raps on young Jacob Arthur. I believe his name's Jacob, yep. The son of Brad Arthur, playing in the halves. They've got some raps on him. Dylan Brown will be at the club. And yeah, I mean, I can't put it this way. If Parra announced that they've re-signed Mitch Moses, it's going to be on over $1 million based off of this information. And the interesting thing is because obviously, I've read reports that Brisbane have, you know, offered this to Reynolds or offered this to DCE, but because I've had someone come to me and say the $1 million for Moses, I believe that they've probably offered all three something and see what they can get. I'd say Moses would be their preferred signing because you're going to get a bit more out of him. I guess he could still rise to his potential a bit. But personally, if Moses goes to the Broncos on $1 million, and good on him for taking the money because a lot of people will bag it out. But if Cooper, if someone came up to you and said, I've got two contracts for you to sign. One right here gives you $800,000 for a year. The other here gives you $1 million for a year. Everyone's going to sign the $1 million one. So, if he was to stay at Para for 800K and knock that back, good on him too. But yeah, take $1 million, move to Brisbane, you're set up for life. The question would then be, what kind of impact would he have at the Broncos? Because I don't think he takes him to a premiership. I don't even know if he gets him back in the top eight. Because
I think
better than the halves that they've got, right? But Brisbane want a half to take him back to a premiership, you know, back to the glory days. Moses is the one who could be a part of a premiership winning Broncos team or a part of a Broncos team that makes the finals, but he's just not the lead guy to get them there. And I think about the partnerships, possibly Milford, if he was to be re-signed by the Broncos, I don't know how that would work. It might be beneficial for Milford, I guess. Brody Croft, I don't see it happening. And your options after that are like your Tyson Gambles, who was really good against the Titans.
Yep.
On Friday, and I guess you're Albert Kelly's too. So,
out of the I know they're all kind of rumored to be going to the Broncos. Out of the four, I guess I'd rather, if I was a Broncos fan or the Broncos, the club, I'd rather Moses over Johnson. But Cherry Evans and Reynolds, I'd prefer them over Moses. I know Moses is a bit younger, but he's still quite a sporadic player. Like, he's not a very stable. He's just, he lacks consistency, and he can be a bit of a hothead sometimes. Like, he sometimes, the pressure gets to him. He just kind of, I don't know. Reynolds and Cherry Evans are big game players. They understand Chip pressure winners. And all that. Yeah, premiership winners, and they're just kind of steady. Even like Chad Townsend, Mitchell Moses is a better player than Chad Townsend, but even Chad Townsend to the Broncos, I know he's at the he's going to the Cowboys, but just a steady half. Because if you look at their side, their forward pack is really good. The Broncos forward pack is really good. They just need a really steady half and kind of just to fix their spine up a bit. So, yeah, if he goes and takes the mill at the Broncos, I could understand it. It's a business at the end of the day. You need to make the most money you can while you're playing. But I would understand it because he's getting the money, but you're just asking yourself to be put under that much pressure, especially going to the Broncos club like they are at the moment. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Well, at Parramatta, he's a player who I don't think, even when he has had like really good games, he's never played a full 80 minutes. As in, like, even that game 2 years ago, you know, his coming of age game against the Tigers where they won 51-6, the final 20 minutes of that, and I guess it was also because he could, but he dropped off, right? And no matter whether Parramatta are winning, losing, games close, far, whatever, he does have patches in games where he just drops off.
Yeah.
Now, he does that at Parramatta. You've got Marnie there who can pick up the slack, Brown there who can pick up the slack, and Gutherson there who I wouldn't say would pick up the slack because for Moses necessarily, because he's doing it for everyone if they're on or off. But at Brisbane, who picks up that slack in the spine? Like, who...
Yeah.
Who elevates themselves to keep Brisbane's head above the water if Moses was to drop off. So Moses would have to step up if he went there. And I don't think it'd happen, but if Moses went there on $1 million and they won a premiership next year, well, then that'd be opinions, including mine, of Mitchell Moses would change very quickly. But I just can't see it happening. Anyway, before we finish off, we're going to give our predictions for where these four players will end up next year. First of all, Cooper, Daly Cherry Evans, where's he going to be in 2022?
I think he stays at Manly. I think he'll take unders and he'll stay there. He'll be a one club player. It'd look a bit, I know when the whole Titans thing happened with Cherry Evans, Manly came up with an offer last second, but it'd look a bit silly if he went to another club now, especially with what happened with the Titans and him staying at Manly to be a one club player. So I think he'll stay at Manly, but you never really know, I guess.
I think he'll stay at Manly, and to go one further, I think by the end of the season, Manly will have announced that they've extended him until the end of 2025. And that'll be his last contract.
Yep.
Adam Reynolds.
He ends up with the Sharks, I reckon, if that report that the, I can't even remember what the type of money it was. I think it was pretty much like 800K a year for 3 years or 4 years. Yeah, I think he ends up at Cronulla. But yeah, if Moses goes to the Broncos, I would love to see him in Eels colours. And I feel like they could offer kind of the same amount of money. Oh, the Sharks probably have a bit more money in their cap. But Moses, if he goes, there's 800K free. So there's slight potential there, but yeah, I'd say he ends up with the Sharks.
I guess it all depends, because I feel like if Parramatta did come in for an offer for Reynolds, I think he'd consider it and there'd be a good chance of getting him. The only thing is, at the moment, again, if this report is true and nothing else has happened, Moses is currently waiting to see if Parramatta offer him a better deal, and by now Reynolds may have already signed with Cronulla. So, yeah, Parramatta may not even have the opportunity to try and sign him because they've been messing around with the whole Moses thing instead of saying, well, you're off to Brisbane then and trying to get Reynolds. Maybe if they stuff around and then miss out on Moses, Reynolds may have already signed with Cronulla. As we speak, Reynolds may have already signed with Cronulla. Who knows? But, yeah, I'm going to say Sharks as well. This one's interesting. I do have an answer in my head just because it's the most logical I can think of. But where will Sean Johnson be in 2022?
Maybe, I don't really know. It's between the Broncos and the Sharks. I guess I'd say the Sharks. I feel like the Sharks would probably want to partner him and Reynolds together. But yeah, if they're only offering 400K, I can understand why he would want to leave. So I will say the Sharks when I'm saying that kind of reluctantly.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Sharks too on a reduced deal. Maybe not 400K, but maybe a 500, 550K deal. Yep. And I do believe he is worth more than that. Don't get me wrong, but I think Cronulla want him to stay to have that halves partnership with Reynolds. But you got to think as well, who else is there? I mean, the Warriors have reportedly knocked him back. They could have offered a bigger deal. You've got the news. You've got the Brisbane Broncos. But again, if what I've heard about Moses is correct, I mean, I guess they could try to get him to partner Moses.
That would be more enticing if Sean Johnson saw that Moses had signed with the Broncos. I feel like he'd be more he'd rather go to the Broncos with Moses and go to the Broncos by himself. So
yeah,
that could be the Broncos' plan, but we don't really know as of yet. So it's kind of just got to all fold out first. But yeah, if Moses goes to the Broncos, I guess Sean Johnson is definitely an option there. But yeah, like I said before, I'd say the Sharks.
Yeah, I'm still saying the Sharks. It is an option, but again, I've not really seen anything too concrete that they've offered him anything as of yet. They might be waiting to get this Moses deal done. And the other team, I guess, you could have chucked the Titans in there, but it's heavily rumoured that they've signed Paul Turner for next year. The Warriors have confirmed today that he'll be leaving, so they'll look to partner him with Fogarty. So yeah, it's literally, I would have said the Sharks, Warriors or Broncos. Warriors seem out of the question. Broncos seem like they're trying to get this Moses deal done. So by default, I'm going to have to say Cronulla.
Maybe, and this is me completely thinking off the top of my head, I haven't seen it rumoured anywhere, but I think Corey Norman's coming off contract for the Dragons, and he's on about 850K-ish. He's upwards, he's been overpaid, so it could be a potential option there for Sean Johnson to go to the Dragons. I don't know, but he's one of the hardest ones to kind of pick out, I reckon.
Yeah, well, just with Norman, I think he's having a good enough year at the Dragons and stepped up when Hunt was injured that I think he will probably stay. At the start of the year, I thought he was going to be a goner, but yeah, after what we've seen, I think he'll end up staying, and I think he'll stay relatively out of the whole, the rumours and stuff, and they'll quietly do it in the background, and one day we'll just see during the season that they've re-signed him for another couple of years. That's just how I feel anyway. Mitch Moses, where's he going to be in 2022?
If rumours are true, I'd say the Broncos, because I can't see the Eels offering that type of money for him. And yeah, so I'm going to say the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, based off of what I've heard, Brisbane, of course, it's been reported that Brisbane have offered him $1 million deal. That's nothing new. But what I heard was that Moses is pretty much all but signed it. That's, I guess, the new information I guess I'm trying to give you guys, is that Moses has pretty much all but signed it and is just awaiting to see if Parra offer more, which, you know what, I heard this midway through last week. There have been a couple of reports of talks with Parramatta still. Today, apparently, the Eels talks with Moses are starting to have an impact on Nathan Brown, because they've not been able to offer him anything yet, and he might be leaving the club if they don't get to him soon. So maybe Parramatta, maybe Moses has gone to Parramatta and said, it looks like I'm going to Brisbane. They've offered me $1 million. And Parramatta have said, well, let's try and work something out. And they're currently trying to work out a way to keep him at the club, maybe without hitting that $1 million mark. So again, it's not, I'd say Parra is still fighting for him, but I do at the very least believe that Mitchell Moses is set to sign a $1 million deal with the Broncos. And at the time of recording, because we haven't heard too much else about it, no further real developments, I'm going to have to say he's at Brisbane next year, which would be interesting to see who does end up at the Eels, because we haven't suggested any of these players will end up at the Eels. You know what? Sean Johnson would be an option, I guess, to go with Dylan Brown, a New Zealand halves combination, I guess, off the top of my head, going back to Johnson. Parramatta would be an option. And
He could. Yeah. If Sharks stick solid on this 400K, I could say Eels definitely offering more than that for Sean Johnson. And you'd rather Sean Johnson there than Jacob Arthur. Now, I know Jacob Arthur's the future. He will be a good player, but Sean Johnson's proven, proven to an extent. And yeah, I would personally, as an Eels fan, out of the two, I'd rather see Moses stay, but I wouldn't want to see him stay on over a mil. And if we can get Sean Johnson for pretty much half of that, I'd be all for it. So, it'll be interesting.
Well, Sean Johnson and Dylan Brown will likely be the starting halves combo for the New Zealand Kiwis in the World Cup this year, as I think about it. If Benji keeps playing how he does, I guess he'd start over Johnson. But
I'd put Jerome Hughes in that conversation.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, wow, they've got some depth in the halves there, the Kiwis. But you've potentially got and if they were to win the World Cup, you've got a potential World Cup winning combination starting out at Para in 2022, which wouldn't the Eels like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, unless you've got anything else to add, Cooper, I think we're done.
I think we've covered it all.
Okay, so we both agree DC staying at Manly. We agree that Reynolds will go to Cronulla. At the moment, we're saying Johnson will go to Cronulla, although the more I think about it...
I think we've talked ourselves into him going to Para.
Yeah, especially, we're both going Moses to the Broncos, right? So I think by default, again, it's one of those things, if this player goes here, this player will probably go here or something. It's a knock-on effect. So, yeah, okay, well, we're going to say this. We're predicting Moses will go to Brisbane next year. And if that is to happen, that will lead to Johnson going to the Eels.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Cooper, as always, every week. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Before we head off, a quick word from our sponsor. Well, guys, I'm here with Jem from Champ Mouthguards. How are we today, Jem?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thanks for jumping on board and sponsoring Rugby League, in my opinion. Look, first of all, I wanted to ask, how did this all start? How did Champ Mouthguards start in the beginning? What was, I guess, the idea behind it, and how has it gotten to where it is today?
Yeah, it's a good question, mate. It's quite funny. Most businesses, I guess, start from something small, and I guess you just look at how Apple was created out of a garage and to where Apple is now, and it's a similar story, to be honest with you. There's two directors in Champ Mouthguards, myself and my business partner, Urson. My background was in rugby league as well. I was a player and a coach as well. I actually was fortunate enough to get involved in the representative coaching at South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. I was assistant coach under Willie Peters, Arthur Katinas, who was an ex-first grade coach with South, as well as Matt King as well. So I was kind of fortunate enough to be around these kids that are now playing first grade, which is great to see. And then basically my business partner had the dental background. So he owns a dental surgery and his father owns a laboratory as well. So it's in their blood, the dental scene. So we just basically put both heads together. We use my network and his skills and his qualifications, and that's how it started.
Yeah, nice. I believe you guys are actually partnered with the West Tigers and St. George Illawarra Dragons as their official mouthguard. How did that come to be?
Mate, it's just going out there and basically explaining who we are, what we're all about. Josh Atherton at the West Tigers was a great believer in what we had to offer. Apart from just making mouth guards, we also love to give back to the community, and that's how we started really well at the early stages. So in the South Sydney district, a lot of the grassroots clubs I had an affiliation with, whether it be me as a player or, you know, just in the community itself. So I had an understanding of what these guys needed in terms of raising funds to give back. So we had that sort of model that we pitched the West Tigers, that we love to give back to the community, and that's what they're all about. So they had a bit of belief in us, and that's where the opportunity came from.
Yeah. How about the Dragons?
So the Dragons basically was just an opportunity that I seen. I had a chat with one of the other players who's a brand ambassador of ours, Jess Surgis. Jess Surgis, as you know, plays with the women's at the Dragons, and her boyfriend's with Lomax as well. We did Zach Lomax's mouth guard. He loved it. And it was just an opportunity through that basically that got us in the door.
Jem, why should players or parents of players out there be opting to go with Champ mouthguards over other competitors?
That's a good question. There's two types of mouthguards, as we know. It's the boil and bite that you get from, say, Rebel or from the chemist. Most of the time, the kids or even adults tend to just leave them in their sock because it's not comfortable. So it's important to get a custom-made mouthguard. That's something that I like to push to a lot of the parents or players out there who have never had one before. And the reason why I would suggest you come to Champ Mouthguards is because we actually specialise in making mouthguards particular to your sport. So whereas a dentist might give you over-protection, overkill, and it's going to be too thick in your mouth and you're not going to be able to breathe, yes, your teeth will be protected, but it's not really practical. So our mouth guards are practical, they protect you and allows you to breathe and make sure that you're still being able to perform at your peak performance.
Yeah, so I guess you could say protection and comfort, and that's what gets Champ mouth guards over the line over your competitors.
Yeah, one little extra thing as well, I'm not sure if anybody's jumped on our website, but we've got a cool 3D customizer. So you can actually jump on our website, and it's the first one in the world actually. In terms of the mouthguard 3D customizer, you can actually see what your mouthguard's going to look like before you actually purchase it. And there's a whole heap of graphics that you can choose from our builder. Or you can upload from your own camera roll or any image off your phone and customize it to your liking as well.
Yeah, well, I've certainly had to play around with it and made a rugby league, in my opinion, mouthguard. I'll have to start playing sport again so I can actually rep it. But I'm proud to announce that we've actually got a discount code with Champ Mouthguards, 10% off if you use the discount code RILIMO. That's RLIMO 10. So RILIMO 10, RLIMO 10, 10% off your purchase at Champ Mouthguards. Jem, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, mate. Appreciate it.